Awesome words. Startling words. Did you catch the incongruity of some of it? In a desert of all places, these things shall happen. Where you would least expect to see a path, a good place to walk, a holy way. That's where it will be. Question. The sign out front. What does it say? Anybody paid attention? How are you preparing the way of the Lord this season? Notice it doesn't say how you're preparing your house for Christmas, right? But how are you preparing the way of the Lord? That sign out front is intended to give people, as they drive by, something to chew on for a while. That's the whole intent. And chew on. How are you preparing the way of the Lord? Holy way. That's what Isaiah was talking about. A holy way. I confess, when I think about the word holy, my dad comes to mind. I remember back about nearly 30 years ago, he and my mom took a trip to Israel and places thereabouts. And I remember that he was very emphatic that he was not taking a trip to the Holy Lands. He was going to, well, Israel, Egypt, Syria, you know, that part of the Middle East. And why was he so insistent upon not going to the Holy Land? Now, I think it had something to do with the fact that, you know, that sense of the Holy Land being so familiar, it being kind of the intersection of three major religions, very familiar territory to all three, almost so familiar that nobody can give an inch. That the holiness of it, so to speak, gets in the way of people really being able to hear their God truly speak in the midst of it all. You know, that was 30 years ago. It's only gotten worse since. I confess that I am the son of my father. So when I hear that word holy, I kind of stand back a little bit. I mean, I know there are people that take their Bible out and they say, well, this is the Holy Bible. And for them, in some ways, what it means is, it's got to sit on the coffee table. It's so holy, I can't even open it. But don't you dare say anything against this. It's holy. And I would venture to say that any holiness that is derived from this book has to do with what happens when we open it up and digest what's within it. Sometimes what we eat as we turn to this holy book may give us indigestion. Truly? I mean, there are parts of this that are very hard to stomach, aren't there? I mean, think about it. If you had lived back in the day of John the Baptist, how would you have responded to what he said? You know, would you truly have, when he talked about repenting for the kingdom of God is at hand, would you have turned? Would you have been attracted to this guy who ate what he did and dressed as he did? I can only imagine what he smelled like. There are parts of this holy book that are hard to swallow, right? I mean, chapter 35 of Isaiah follows chapter 34. Oh, that makes sense. 35 comes after 34. Well, you turn to chapter 34, and it is a very strident condemnation of the nations and how God is going to just spew them out, you know, because of, well, how they have treated people, how they have treated God's people. But in general, you know, when the Bible talks about leading holy lives, living in holiness, it doesn't necessarily have to deal with making sure that you don't touch unclean people, that you don't get involved in the things that God is involved with because they're indigestible, untouchable, unworthy. The harshest condemnations in the Bible to the very people whom God sent into this world, you know, the children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Moses, the harshest condemnation in the Bible have to do, and more things are said about, you know, how you treat the marginal people in this world. How you treat the poor. How you treat the widows. How do you treat those who are disabled. You know, when Jesus came along and sort of set up his mission statement, if you will. In Luke's gospel, it's very clear. Jesus turns to Isaiah there in his hometown synagogue. And he reads from that chapter about, you know, the good news to the poor. About recovery of sight to the blind. You remember that passage, don't you? And he says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. Well, in Matthew's gospel, in what we heard in the 11th chapter, this is sort of like the same thing. Jesus is turning again to that same, those similar words, maybe not from the same location, but Isaiah had a habit of repeating himself. You heard those words. Jesus said, tell John, when John was wondering, are you the one? Jesus told his disciples to go back and tell him, well, we have seen this. We have seen that the blind receive their sight. We have seen that the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. You know, the untouchables. That the deaf hear. The dead are raised. The poor have good news brought to them. This, my friends, is the holy way. It's not easy. Perhaps the hardest thing. As I look at that portion of the world that my father refused to call holy, holy land, I think about its still present need for such a vision, such a mission. Something that actually unites three major religions. Such words as that, when you think about it. That, I believe, is what's central to all three of them, though I can't speak for Islam as much as I can speak for Judaism and Christianity. That's the holy way. The real pilgrimage is not necessarily to a place like Jerusalem or to a place like Mecca. The real pilgrimage is to the very heart of God. And that's what we are about in this season, is it not? That is what it means to be working at preparing the way. Now, there is something about this particular season that feels so very comfortable and familiar. We have been walking over this territory for years. And we yearn for its comfort. We yearn for the familiar, for the pretty lights. We yearn for the evergreens. We yearn for presence under the tree. We yearn for the ho, ho, ho. We yearn for all of these familiar things. And that's good. But that's not the real holy way of this time. Again, how are you preparing the way of the Lord? this season. The holy way. The holy way. Today's theme, go and tell. Now, I know it's derived from Matthew's gospel, where the disciples of John are encouraged by Jesus to go and tell John what they have seen. But this is not just about them going and telling John. This is about us. What does it mean for us to go and tell? We do have a story to share. But a story that's not just lost off in some portion of this holy Bible that we let sit on our table. It's a story that we need to eat and digest, even the parts that are give us gas and other things. We have things to share, and we do need to give them voice. But the other part of that, go and tell, is the journey. Because it's a journey that leads us not into the comfortable, not into the familiar, but it's a journey that leads us into risk. To go to our neighbors and not just step inside their door and yap, 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 yap the good news, but to step into their lives and respect their lives, respect who they are, listen to their story, because everybody's got a story. To step out of the familiar, though, and step into that strange territory that is God's holy way. And having stepped out and risked to be able to open our mouths and not throw the good news on to somebody, but to share what's in our hearts. Because that is the holy way. The holy way is not out here. This aisle that leads out the door or leads into this way is not the holy way. The holy way of God leads through our very heart and out to others. And as we step out into this territory, we are like Isaiah in that call chapter of his gospel, if you will. That's how I hear it. The call story of Isaiah had him in a vision coming to the very presence of God. And there in the very presence of God, we became so very aware of his own unworthiness as he heard the angels speak, actually to sing. And what did they sing? You know that song in the hymnal. The word in Hebrew is Kadesh. And they said, Kadesh, Kadesh, Kadesh. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and who is to come. Kadesh, Kadesh, Kadesh. And Isaiah was filled with his own unworthiness. Just like as we step out into that strange territory, as we step into people's lives, we are aware of our own unworthiness to step on what really is sacred ground, because it is ground that God prepares. God already travels that territory. Elsewhere, Isaiah spoke of, you know, making straight a path in the wilderness. You know, the mountains being brought low, the valleys being brought up, a level place and stepping across it. God has already traveled that territory. And being filled with the awareness that we're just following in God's footsteps. We're just following in Jesus, where Jesus has already gone into people's lives. And aware that in many ways we are not worthy to be able to walk and actually to speak. You know, our lips are unclean. Our lips are, you know, how do we find the words to really speak? And yet God, like Isaiah, takes that that cold and touches our lips and frees us up so that we can speak, so that we can go and tell. And that's the holy way of this particular season. As we are anticipating the coming of our Lord, it's not just we are anticipating Christmas, we're anticipating God's future, the coming of the kingdom of God. And this is how we are preparing the way, by risking, by stepping out, and doing more than just rejoicing in the comfortable and the familiar, but sharing what needs to be shared with those around us, having respected who they are. That's my encouragement for today.